Poverty Lodge by Gordon Pound is a powerful read which takes readers on a journey of hope and dreams. It showcases that while not all dreams turn out to be the way we imagine, the pursuit of those dreams makes it all worthwhile. Heartfelt, personal, and memorable. Gordon Pound was born in rural Oxfordshire into a farming family and enjoyed the benefits of country living during the dark days of World War II and post-war austerity. Later, he boarded at a grammar school that was founded in 1571, appeared to retain the original plumbing and some of the original masters. Subsequently, he attended agricultural college, graduating just in time to be conscripted into the Army, where he obtained a short service commission. Following that service, finding that he enjoyed Army life, he transferred to the Australian Army, where he served in various capacities and locations throughout Australia and Asia. Retiring after 20 years soldiering and anxious to resume a rural lifestyle, he convinced his family that moving to a ramshackle farmhouse on a rundown farm in Tasmania would be a good idea. How the enterprise worked out, what the story's about. P-O-U-N-D, book available at need that before I can do that. Tale is Poverty Lodge, and Gordon Pound is with us from Tasmania on Skype on This Week in America. Vivid descriptions. Poverty Lodge, Amazon, Gordon Pound. Born in rural Oxfordshire into a farming family, enjoyed the benefits of country living during the dark days. With us on Skype from Tasmania on This Week in America. Okay. Going to lighthearted record of a dream fulfilled. After retiring 20 years soldiering and anxious to resume a rural lifestyle, convinced his family that moving up to a ramshackle, why did he make the decision to leave the Army? Skype. Gordon Pound. active now. Hello, Gordon.
Hello, Rick.
How are you today?
In fact, you're a little bit ahead of time. Well done, mate.
Yes, I saw that you were on. I thought, well, I'll give it a shot. If he doesn't want to talk, he won't answer it. So it's just like, let's go ahead.
I've got myself organized, sitting here, waiting for your call.
That's good. Actually, the picture looks good.
We've got to be careful not to talk over each other. Sorry, you go.
I was just going to say, the picture looks good. So I'm liking this. This really looks better than it did the other day.
You know, I've gone on Skype to my daughter in Australia and mentioned that we were having problems. And she said, Dad, just clean your camera. So I got a wipe, clean the camera.
God, isn't it computer nice having
camera,
kids?
And here we are.
It's nice having kids. That comes
you
in
depend
handy.
On them.
That comes in handy. I'm going to, Otto's back in Indiana. Whoop. And yeah, he's adjusting things. So give us he said a couple of minutes and he'll be ready to get started there. He's back in Indiana recording the video. I'm in Florida. And the problem is he can hear you, but he can't hear me. And we haven't figured out a way that we can do that yet. So as soon as he comes back, we'll jump in and be ready to go. And that picture does look good. So I'm anxious to get going before something bad happens. So that thank you for sending your picture. I've got that as a back stop if I need something here, just as a backup. But I don't think we're going to need that. And how are you feeling? I didn't realize that you were sick there for a period.
I'm now feeling pretty good.
Good.
I'm still building back up, of course, because it was cancer of the esophagus. And I was on chemo for a while, and I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, quite honestly,
yes,
Rick.
Yes.
And then at the end of that, it was a choice, either radiotherapy or surgery. Anyway, they zipped me open and removed my esophagus and the cancer. So now eating is something of a problem. The surgeon said, you'll never eat 3 square meals a day again. So now I graze. And I've lost a fair bit of weight, which is no great problem because according to our National Health Service chart, for somebody of my height, I'm now at a healthy weight.
Very good. So, well, you look good.
It was probably a benefit in the long run.
Well, you look good, and I didn't know you before, but just in seeing you, and you look good. You really do.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling good, and I'm feeling very, very lucky.
And it sounds like they got all of the cancer. They've cleaned that out?
It seems so, yep.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I've had a few reviews since, and there's no sign of it returning. So, I'm hoping for the best. But overall, I feel pretty good. I've adjusted to the fact that I can't eat and drink as much as I used to. And apart from that, no problems.
A small price to pay for being healthy. I'm just glad it worked out like it did. Otto is back online. He's asking me, I've got your picture, of course. I've got Gordon Pound, GordonPound. Yeah. And we're showing Amazon just to show that on the screen, the place for the book. Is that okay? Is that okay to show that website?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That is good. And I'll let Otto know. I can never figure out where I am with the camera here. There we go. Okay. Now, I think I explained to you, I will get these links off to you as quickly as I can. I'll do this later today. The video usually takes an extra couple of days, but I'll get all the audio off to you. And I am really looking forward to this. And I've got all of my stuff set up here. Picture is looking good there. And we're recording you on Skype, and we're recording on the machine here, and I'm recording the audio. And I believe we are all set and ready to go.
Rick, can you bear with me one second?
Oh, of course.
Please,
of
just
course.
One second.
Yes.
I do apologize for that.
Oh, no problem.
Okay.
Okay, I think I am typing, I am talking, I can't multitask really well, so okay. And I can't read what I just typed either, so okay. Hopefully Otto could read that. We are recording and we are all set here. Gordon, I'm going to go ahead and do a silent 3-second countdown. I'll come back and do the introduction, then we'll have 18 to 20 minutes to talk. And if you are all set, I'm going to start the silent 3-second countdown now. Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Poverty Lodge by Gordon Pound is a powerful read which takes readers on a journey of hope and dreams and showcases that while not all dreams turn out the way we imagine, the pursuit of those dreams makes it all worthwhile, heartfelt, personal, and memorable. Gordon Pound was born in rural Oxfordshire into a farming family, enjoyed the benefits of country living during the dark days of World War II and post-war austerity. Later, he boarded at a grammar school that was founded in 1571. He says they appeared to retain the original plumbing and maybe some of the original masters. Subsequently, he attended an agricultural college, graduating just in time to be conscripted into the Army, where he obtained a short service commission. Now, following that service, finding that he enjoyed Army life, he transferred to the Australian Army, where he served in various capacities at locations throughout Australia and Asia. Retiring after 20 years soldiering and anxious to resume a rural lifestyle, he convinced his family that moving to a ramshackle farmhouse on a rundown farm in Tasmania would be a good idea. How the enterprise worked out is what the tale is all about. The tale is Poverty Lodge, and Gordon Pound is with us via Skype from Tasmania on This Week in America. Gordon, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Rick.
What a delightful story this is, and receiving excellent reviews, and what a life that you've led, taking you back on the farm, Poverty Lodge in Tasmania. Let's start with that decision to leave the Army and get back to the farm where it all started for you. Why did you decide to leave the Army?
Well, as you said, Rick, I was born up, born on the farm, brought up on the farm, finally conscripted, or eventually conscripted into the Army. And I found I enjoyed the Army. And when my short service commission in the English Army or the British Army finished, I transferred to the Australian Army, looking to broaden my horizons, if you like. And I thoroughly enjoyed Army life. But as you get older and more senior, you wind up pushing a desk. And that's not really what I joined the Army to do. And I guess at that stage, I was looking to take on something else. And the rural antecedents, if you like, came back to haunt me. And I persuaded the rest of the family that going back to or going onto a farm would be the way to go. And that's how I left the Army and returned to rural living.
Gordon's story in his book, Poverty Lodge, the book's available at Amazon, the usual places. You can link onto our website and link onto Amazon, get information on Gordon's book, Poverty Lodge. Why did you decide to take on a farm, especially at that stage of your life? Growing up on a farm is one thing. You're young. You're outside all the time. Going back on the farm, as I remember people I knew who lived on a farm, that's a whole lot of work. Why did you decide to take on a farm with your family at that stage of your life?
Well, I guess, to be truthful, I'd probably forgotten what it was like. But filled with enthusiasm, and I managed to fill the rest of the family with enthusiasm, and the prospect of bringing the kids up in a sane rural environment appealed somewhat. And we chose Tasmania. You live in Florida, I believe,
yes.
Rick. So you're familiar with the tropics, and you know they have benefits and drawbacks. Well, I spent a lot of time in the tropics, in tropical parts of Australia and in Asia. I did two tours in Vietnam, which is about as tropical as you can get. I found that I wanted to go back to a place where there was a change of seasons. I call it white man's weather. That's not a racist sentiment, but if you've got this color skin, you're physiologically adapted to a change of seasons.
Yes.
And in Australia, Tasmania offer those. And the other factor, which wasn't the least consideration, is property in Tasmania was cheaper than the rest of Australia.
What kind of a sell was that for the family? You talked them into to going to the farm, and then you say, "And I think our farm is going to be in Tasmania." Were they as excited as you were about this, or did you need a little more convincing to get them to go to the farm in
No,
Tasmania?
I think I managed to convince them. I extolled the virtues of country living and described what it was like when I was a kid living on a farm in rural Oxfordshire in southern England. And they started to like the idea. Now, the independence that you get from living on a farm to
Yes.
an extent, looking after yourselves to some degree, giving the kids space to play and grow up. No, they welcome the idea. But
Gordon.
as I said in say in the book, my dear wife had never experienced country living and far living on a farm, and she wasn't aware of the gruesome reality, as I put it.
Well, you were an excellent salesman in getting everybody excited and along on the trip. Gordon Pound is our guest on the program, coming to us via Skype from Tasmania, where they obviously have good internet connection because it's a good picture, and you can see the video by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, clicking on the video section there. We're available on YouTube. What was the farm like when you arrived? The name of the farm is Poverty Lodge. Was it called that before you got there, or did you name it after you took over?
No, it was called that. I think the farmer that owned it was part of a larger farm, and he'd battled, I think, with this particular area. But strangely enough, it appealed to me. Some of my former army colleagues who'd retired about the same time as I did and decided to go back to the land on mainland Australia, but it was a time of the dreadful one of their periodic droughts, and I visited one colleague, and it was everything was so dry, but I went down to Tasmania looking at properties and went to this particular property, Poverty Lodge. The grass was green. There were a couple of creeks running through it to a couple of dams. It had plenty of water. It had trees, about 40 acres of bush, native bush, in fact. And it just appealed. And I thought we could live pretty well here.
Those vivid
So
descriptions.
the biggest problem, sorry, it was not arable, it was grazing property, but plenty of grass in the fields. The biggest drawback was that the farmhouse was pretty run down, pretty ramshackle.
All of this unfolds in Gordon's book, Poverty Lodge. I was mentioning that the descriptions you just went through of what it looked like, you do such an excellent job in the book with your vivid descriptions. We feel like we're there. We're sort of experiencing this with you and your family. Poverty Lodge by Gordon Pound. You'll find it at Amazon, all of the usual places. What did you intend to use the farm for? There are people that move to farms and they really don't do much farming. They just like being out on the farm, and others who enjoy the farming aspect. What were your
Now,
plans when you moved there?
this was going to be a profitable farming enterprise. It was too small to for broad acre farming, sheep, cattle, or the usual things that you envisage farming in Australia. But the soil and the amount of water was such that we could grow crops. Now, again, not broad acre, not tens of thousands of hectares of wheat or whatever, but certainly high value cash crops. And one of the benefits of farming in Tasmania, because of its isolation and the ability to control its borders, you can grow opium. Opium poppies, obviously for medicinal purposes, but
Exactly.
it is a legitimate and high-value cash crop. And the other alternatives that I was looking at were things like perithrums, essential oils, the sort of things, high value, low acreage crops that will bring you an income, and all the facilities were there. That was what we envisaged to do.
This is Poverty Lodge, the book by Gordon Pound. It's such a delightful story, a lighthearted record of a dream fulfilled. Once you start reading it, you're going to follow Gordon and the family on all of the adventures there. I mentioned I love the background. You do the Army and you end up in the Australian Army. How did that happen? How did you end up joining the Australian Army?
Well, at the end of my... I mentioned, and you mentioned earlier, that I was conscripted into the British Army, first of all, National Service, as they called it, the draft, as it's known in America. And I was given the ability or the opportunity to try for a commission, and I managed to get one out of short service commission. At the end of that, I was reviewing my options. And at that time, the Australian Army had a few discrete advertisements for ex-British Army officers, warrant officers, senior NCOs to join the Australian Army. And they're pretty pragmatic, the Australians. Their army was growing very quickly because of the unsettled situation in Asia at that particular time, in the 60s. And they realized that you introduced conscription there, with the best will in the world, you wind up with top quality private soldiers. Officers, warrant officers, senior NCOs take longer to train. And it's expensive to train them, far cheaper to get them from another army. And because the Australian Army was modelled at that stage very closely on the British Army was considered a source. As I say, they're pretty pragmatic, the Australians. Yes. And they offered a first-class passage to Australia by ship. And I thought, I'll take that. Even if I hate it, I've had a first-class trip halfway around the world. As it turned out, I loved it. I loved Australia. I loved the army. There we are.
And the story,
that's how I got there.
It's such a fascinating life, a fascinating story. The book is Poverty Lodge by Gordon Pound, our guest on the program. Book available at Amazon. You also served, and you just touched on this a minute ago, the American forces in Vietnam. How did that come about that you ended up with the American forces in Vietnam?
Well, there are some of us who were in the army in Vietnam. Reckon that at some stage in a room, either in Washington or in Canberra, a very senior American said to a senior Australian, either service or civilian, if you want us to keep the Indonesians off your neck, we want some moral support in Vietnam. And I say that because at that particular time, Britain was trying to form Malaysia out of a federation of Malaysia and Sabah and Borneo and Singapore, of course. And the leader of Indonesia at that time, who had tremendous backing from the Soviets, was contesting it. And Australia is closer to Indonesia than England is to France, believe it or not. And there was every possibility that Sukarno, who headed Indonesia at that stage, a rabid communist, could have turned his attention southwards. And there's very little Australia could have done about it without American help, as America did, of course, in World War II against the Japanese. And so Australia acquiesced and sent contingents to Vietnam. To start with, it was a small contingent, and I was in an artillery battery, which was part of 229 Artillery Battalion, which was part of the 173rd Airborne Brigade at Binh Hoa. And we served quite happily under the Americans. Later on, Australia had a brigade there. I went back for a second tour and worked very closely with the Americans. And the great majority, there are good and bad in every walk of life, of course. Yes. Got on famously with a great majority of them.
Gordon Pound, our guest on the program, talking about the military background that he had with the British Army, the Australian Army, serving with U.S. forces in Vietnam. The book is Poverty Lodge by Gordon Pound. A couple minutes left in the program. Don't want to give away a whole lot here, but you didn't stay on the farm. Talk about that and the decision that went into that.
Well, very, very quickly, by the time we'd bought the farm and done up the house, which is described in some detail in the book, as you said, we ran out of capital. In the 80s, capital was readily available, but you were paying, 18, 19, 20%. And farming doesn't bring that sort of result. So there I was on the farm with big ideas and no capital in which to do it. And I was getting terribly frustrated because, sadly, in this day and age, if you've got a family to support and bring up and educate and so on, you've got to have money.
Yes.
And I could see me just using all our capital just to maintain the farm and not be able to make any money out of it. So with a fair degree of sadness, quite honestly, we had to give the thought away, but we gave it a go, Rick, and I don't regret it for one moment. And I think the rest of the family came out of it benefited very much from the experience. It was a great period in our lives and probably contributed to make us what we are today.
Well, that's interesting.
Two kids with degrees, a granddaughter,
yes,
with a degree. It helped, I'm sure.
It's interesting, the foundation that was laid in the background that what you went through on living on the Poverty Lodge. And again, this is a story of pursuing dreams. Sometimes don't work out exactly like you had hoped, but it's all worthwhile. The book is heartfelt, personal, memorable, excellent descriptions. You'll sense Gordon's wry sense of humor as you read the book, as he takes a look back at episodes in his life as well as the lodge. At what point did you decide, I've got these great stories to tell, I think I'm going to write a book? How did that happen?
Well, when we first arrived in Tasmania, we were something of an oddity. People were tending to leave that little state and head for the mainland where the opportunities were better. And suddenly this guy with his family came from Australia's capital into Tasmania. And we were a talking point. And in fact, I wrote a series of articles in the local paper describing our adventures out at Poverty Lodge. And that went for a while. And I quit and went on to writing other things. And people said, we miss those tales. And I started to write a book. And I should mention here, Rick, that I wrote the book essentially for a British audience. And it was published in the UK. And then I was approached by an American publisher to publish it in America. And it was changed slightly. For example, the title Poverty Lodge. Now, poverty strikes fear in American hearts. It's a very antithesis to what America is all about. And there was a thought of changing the title, but that problem was overcome with a subtitle. Certain things have been changed. There's a glossary in there to explain some of the Australian colloquialisms. But I would say that if any of your viewers get on to Amazon or get online to look for the book, make sure that it is the American version that they get, because I think they'll find it more understandable and probably a bit more appealing. And it's due to be released next week, I understand, from the publishers.
That's perfect. And all of the information, when you're looking for it, look for the American version of Poverty Lodge. A minute or so left here. You're there. We're here in the United States. Anybody you want to say hello to over here? We've got the Skype connection. We paid for this connection here. Anybody? Anybody you'd like to talk to?
There are a couple of guys, Americans, that I became very friendly with in Vietnam. The first one was a fellow called John Cunningham, who I think was Signal Corps, and he and I were down at a place called Van Kiep, South Vietnamese Army, the Arvin National Training Center. John Cunningham came from Reno, Nevada. And I corresponded with him for a while after we both left Vietnam. But as you appreciate, over time, you lose these connections. Yes, yes. And the other guy was a U.S. Marine Corps captain called Lance Woodburn. Now, he was one of the most professional soldiers I've ever met. And I wouldn't be surprised if Lance didn't go on to achieve a pretty senior rank in the U.S. Marine Corps. And if he's out there listening, or John Cunningham is out there listening, I'm sure Rick, that they could get in touch via your program.
Yes, I was
and
just
I'd
going
love to
say.
To hear from them.
Yep.
I'd love to hear from them, reestablish contact.
I was going to say, if either of those want to get in contact with Gordon, just get in contact with me, and I will put you in direct contact with Gordon. Would love to do that, and that would be so much fun to get together with one or
it
two of those
sure
gentlemen
would.
Again to go back and go through all of the years. Geez, Gordon, this has been so much fun having you on the program. Talking about the background, talking about the farm, all of your experiences. Gordon Pound, if you're Googling, it's P-O-U-N-D. The book is Poverty Lodge. Make sure you have the American version. You'll find it at Amazon, the usual places. Gordon, thank you for being with us on the program. Best of luck as you can. Are you writing anything now, by the way?
I'm working on a memoir that in fact, I mean, just to leave to the kids. To describe... Yeah, what the life has been all about.
Yes.
For me and for them.
Well, that will be fascinating as well. Hopefully you'll publish that and we can talk about that as well. Gordon Pound with us on the program today. The book is Poverty Lodge. You'll find all the information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages. Gordon, that was excellent and went by way too fast. Thank you for that. That was fun.
Thank you. Thinking back, I should have said, I wish I hadn't said that. It's too late, Rick. I appreciate your interest, mate. I really do. You're a very easy person to talk to.
Well, and so are you, and that's what made it fun. I really enjoyed this, and I enjoyed... having this chance to talk with you, and I really appreciate you taking the time to clean off the lens. I'm going to have to remember that now if I'm having problems on this end.
If it happens again,
Yep, you could have called a technical advisor. They would have come in, wiped the lens nut, told you that's what they did, and charged you $500 for it. So it's nice to have somebody in the family that understands that. That's great. It really worked out well, and I'm going to get the audio probably up later. I'm going to try to do it this evening, video in a couple of days, and I'll send the audio links off to you right away. They'll be on all the podcasting networks over here right away, and then I'll get the video off to you, and we will stay in touch, and thank you again so much for doing this.
Yeah, I hope we can stay in touch, Eric. It's been a pleasure.
It has been fun. I've really enjoyed meeting you long distance wise, and continued good health. It sounds like things are going in the right direction, and I'm delighted to hear that.
Hoping for the best. And you're very kind. Thank you.
Gordon, take care. Enjoy the rest of the day, and I'll get these links off to you as quickly as I can.
Good man.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
You too.
Stay safe.
Bye.
Bye.